Hannah, we have all been there. I think we all have tons and tons of grace for you. No problem at all. Man. I really didn't understand that and have the patience for it till I got a little older. And as a grandparent, I think I finally got the full revelation that parents are trying their best and kids are kids. Even good kids get cranky when they get bored. And let's just face it, church must be pretty boring to a kid. So if you have your Bible with you, could you turn with me to James chapter 4? We're going to start out there briefly. We're going to finish there. And then we're also going to be going to Matthew chapter 11. So again, that's James chapter 4, verse 8. And then that'll be Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. So last year was an awesome year here. We planted out several different families. We sent out some families. If you remember last June and July, I think we could have changed our name of the church to Newhall Christian Exodus, because it just seemed like so many families left. And we all remember Burmans. When the Burmans come in a room and when they leave a room, they make a difference. And so if you're new here and you never heard of the Burman family, they're a family with 9 kids. And so a family of 11, when it leaves the church this small, it leaves a fingerprint there, leaves a spot. And at the same time, Julie and Travis left within a couple of weeks with their 3 daughters, so that left a spot. There was a couple of other families that left. One retired, moved out, and it just seemed like within about 4 to 6 weeks, we had about 25 people leave. And so it was painful. Part of it was painful, I'll just be honest. Some of it was really exciting. Like Travis and Julie, they were answering the will of God. Our whole purpose here is to equip disciples to go out. I mean, we're all sons and daughters of God. And if you think family, in a family where you have kids, the goal isn't to raise kids to live with you forever. Amen. Right? The goal is to raise them to be functioning adults that can then go out and contribute to society. So in a church, we don't just want to have a bunch of kids that just stay here and only get older. We do want to have, not all of us, but many of us are going to be sent out to do God's work. And so we saw that last summer. And then in about maybe September, October, November, December, we've seen a lot of new people start coming, new faces, new families. So that was exciting. So this year, we're going to be continuing to invite our friends. We all know the acronym FRAN, right? Friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. That's all of our target audience. We're probably not ever going to do any big evangelistic crusade and bring in some big name guy and try to bring in 3,000 people and a bunch of people get saved. And next Sunday, they're not here and no one's looking out for them. I believe scripturally God's called us to lead the people that are closest to us to Him. And then once they actually meet Him, to help them know Him. That's what discipleship is. Jesus said, go and make disciples. He didn't say, go and make numbers. Go and make converts. He said, go and make disciples. So you disciple by living with each other, living life. So that's what we're doing. So this year, we're going to keep trying to share with our friends. And we're also going to make an intentional effort on discipleship. So in just a month or two, I'm going to start up, if there's a need, if there's people that would like to do this, a new believers class. And just go through some of the basic things. What happens when I get born again? I've heard the phrase so many times, but what's that mean? What happens with water baptism? It seems like almost every church has some kind of a form of it. What's with baby baptism? What's with sprinkling baptism? Why do some do immersion baptism? Does it even matter? Those are really good questions. What does it mean when people say that they're filled with the Holy Ghost? That they got baptized with the Holy Spirit? Is that even biblical? Absolutely, it's biblical. Absolutely. So there's lots of things. What about fasting? What's communion all about? When we die, what happens to us? If we're not saved, and if we are saved, what's all that? So a new believer's class will just settle some of that stuff out. We're going to start up a leadership course here pretty soon, too. So I just tell you some of these things to get you thinking and go, you know, would I like to do that? Or maybe not. It's not for everybody. But there's some people that do want to learn more and want to just grow in God and in those ways. So this coming year, we're going to do that. So are you at James chapter 4, verse 8? I'll get to today's message. Because today's message, the title of today's message is, How Can I Get Closer to God? We put that right on the title. If you remember last week was God Has a Plan for My Life. Do you remember when I had everybody raise their hand, close their eyes, raise their hands, and I prayed for us all? Because I asked us, don't make a New Year's resolution, but to make a decision. I'm going to make a decision. This is the area I want to grow in with God. This is what I want to do. And so I prayed, and I know for a fact some people really touched. God showed up. It was amazing. So now God has a plan for our life. We've made a decision to go. So now how do we do that? That's what I'm going to try to talk about today. How do I actually get closer to God? Because it doesn't do anybody any good to tell you, you should do this, it'd be good for you, and you don't know how, and they don't tell you. That just frustrates me. Don't tell me to do something, and I don't know how, and you're not going to help me. So today, hopefully, we're all going to just get a touch from God and draw closer to Him. So James chapter 4, verse 8. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Some say, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. And it's pretty amazing what this is a simple verse. We're going to look at the passage that I'm pulling this out of in a few minutes. But right now, I just want you to think about this. The Bible says, God promises each one of us, if we will draw close to Him, He'll draw close to us. And Logan, could you give me a hand up here for a second with an illustration? I won't put you on the spot. It's nothing tough. You don't have to fix anything for me or fix something I screwed up. It's just a simple illustration. So I asked him to come up here. God says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Now, for guys in America, this is plenty close to be close to a guy. So what God's saying, though, is if you draw near to me, he came all the way up here, I'll draw near to you. And he's not actually saying, could you hold my hand for a second? He's not saying this, so we won't hold hands. Cool. Isn't that a relief? Now, hold on a second. Huh? No? No? He is a man after my own heart. He really is. What God's saying, the word draw actually means to, like, bend with your arm. And so this is what God's saying. If you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. This right here is how you teach someone to walk if they've never walked. If they're learning to roller skate or rollerblade or ice skate, this is if you try to just hold hands and he's trying to learn, guess what? You're both going to end up on the ice, right? And probably hurt. But if you do it like this, even if he stumbles, I got him. This way right here, yep, exactly. You can just relax. I got you, man. I got you. I'll show you where we're going to go. I'll lead you around. It's awesome. If necessary, this is what God's talking about. Draw near to me, and I will bend my arm around you, and I'll get you where you need to go. Even if you're tired, even if you're weary. Dead weight. No, you're never dead weight. Whoa, a little bit. No, thank you, man. Good one. Isn't it good to know that God's way stronger than me? But that's what God's talking about. Draw near to Him, and He'll draw near to us. It isn't just come knock at the door, and if I feel like it, maybe I'll look out the door. Or just come into this church somewhere and just sit in a pew. And it's not some half-hearted, if you feel like it, come around. It's not that at all. It's like, come here, man. No, come on, quick, come here. That's the urgency. That's the sense of it. And when you get close to God, He puts His arm around you. That's what James is talking about. When he says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Do you remember last week when I was talking about the whole thing of if we knock, if we seek, if we ask, that we'll receive? In that verse and the passage that I shared about was the promise, for we will receive from the Holy Spirit. Remember that word receive? I talked about it in the Greek, how it means to like unveil, to uncover, to reveal something. When it says that we'll receive from the Holy Spirit, we'll reveal from the Holy Spirit, it means that spiritually, the Holy Spirit will show us something that you can't get with your eyes or your ears, with your human senses. It's spirit-to-spirit revelation. We're going to touch that word in just a minute in kind of the context of what we're talking about this. So now let's go. You can keep your bulletin on your finger there, James 8. We'll be back in a second. But go to Matthew chapter 11. I should have practiced with Logan and had him hold me up. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to start at verse 25. Before we go there, I just want to give us a little bit of background about this, the whole chapter 11, and what Jesus was kind of, what he was facing with the crowd that was around him. And so by what he was facing, what he was trying to address and adjust in the group that was listening to him. Second, I'll be there in just a second. So Matthew 11 is a really interesting chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but it's really interesting. It starts out at verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. When John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two disciples to him, said, 'Are you the coming one? Or do we need to look for another one?' Jesus answered him with a prophecy from Isaiah. John came out, you know, John the Baptist, when this whole region saying, 'Guess what? The Messiah's here. He's just about to show up. I'm kind of like plowing the ground for him. And if you'll repent from your old life and you being Lord of your life and you make Messiah your Lord, show that by being water baptized.' We get water baptized, we go in the water, our old selves, we come out our new selves. Kind of identifying with Christ, how Christ went into the grave, a dead body, and came out the resurrected Savior. So that's kind of what water baptized. So he gives them this prophetic word that John had been saying. So instead of going trying to convince John with something that was going on, he spoke to him spirit to spirit. He says, this is what God showed you, this is still happening. It was spirit to spirit. It was amazing. If you read through here, it goes on. He comes into, he talks about the crowd. And if you look at verse 16, he says, "So what shall I like in this generation?" And by the way, I've been having a couple conversations, Logan, about generations. Can I just say I'm part of about four generations? Because I know how the devil wants to separate all of us and try to make whites hate black, and Republicans hate Democrats, and conservatives hate liberals, and boomers to hate the millennials, and the XYs, and Zs, and Qs. And can I just say, this is the generation alive right now, right? When I was born, let's say 0 to 20, and then 20 to 40, and then 40 to 60, which I'm not there yet, but I have a lot of good friends that are, I'm like part of three or four generations, and it's all just one generation. So if Jesus was here right now talking to us, he wouldn't say, okay, I need all the boomers to come into this back room. I need all the millennials to come over here. I need all the Generation Xers to go back there, and then I'll come and talk. He would say, this generation, it's who's alive right now. We are a generation. Amen? We're a family. We're all together in this. This is what he says to the crowd listening to him. Check this out. "But what shall I like in this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, 'We played a flute for you and you did not dance, and we mourned you and you did not lament.'" In other words, we did something to try to get a reaction from you and you wouldn't give us our reaction. You're like spoiled little brats, always wanting your way and not getting what you want. That's what Jesus says to him. And look at this. "For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'Huh. He just fasts all the time. He must be demonized.' And the Son of Man," he's talking about himself, "and the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" In other words, here's John the Baptist, who lived out in the desert, lived a really, really secluded life for God, and they had a big problem with it. This guy doesn't do anything that we do, doesn't do the stuff like us. We don't like him. He's kind of a freak. Here's Jesus, comes in, hangs out with the worst of the worst, lives life with everybody. Oh, he must be totally backslidden. He's just horrible. Then what do you want? Where we live right now and the attitudes we're surrounded by are nothing new. People right now gripe if they have something and if they gripe if they don't have something. They hate it because it's big and they hate it because it's small. They hate it because this and they hate it because it's like right now there's so many people that just aren't happy no matter what they have. It ain't new. Jesus had that same generation. He says, what? You guys, no matter what you get, you're never happy. Verse 20. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. This is, by the way, a very religious community. Don't think that he's talking to a bunch of people that have never been in church. He's talking to Jews that have been raised in the church. In this crowd, there's probably a mixture. It's the whole generation of Jewish people in Jewish communities. So you've got Pharisees, Sadducees, you've got the high priest, you've got the regular priest, you've got all the Jews that have been raised up literally since their moms were pregnant with them, going to synagogue every week. They would have been, most of the average Jews could have recited most of the Old Testament at any given time. These cats were religious. And so Jesus goes through this stuff. He says, you don't like John, you don't like me. There was miracles. You guys seen all kinds of miracles. That still doesn't affect you. Do you see the attitude where Jesus is going after with these religious people? He says, woe to you, I'm looking at verse 21. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. These two cities were non-Jewish cities. These cities would have been made up of people like you and me, who weren't born again when they were born, didn't know God, didn't love God, living like they're going to hell and enjoying every day of it. That's how those people were that were in the cities that got nuked. He says to the religious people, if those guys would have got what you got, they would have repented seriously, seriously repented. But you guys are like, you're so hard-hearted, it doesn't even matter to you. But I say to you, it'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, they really thought there was something because of all the trade that happened in their town. Kind of like New York City right now. Think New York. And you, New York, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Wow. God bless you. Church is dismissed. Wouldn't that be a bummer? But Jesus spoke the truth, and he addressed people in their heart conditions and where they live. And he talked about grace and God's power and God's truth, and he always had it balanced with the other side of the coin. That's the other side of the coin. So let's see the heart condition that Jesus is after. What is his message for today? Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. This is amazing. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Hallelujah. To be powerful in the kingdom of God, for you to get the things of God, you only have to be as smart as a baby. Because the things of God are learned through the heart and not through the head. We could bring Owen back here and we see if he wouldn't want to hug his mom and his dad, want to stay in their lap the whole day. It's a no-brainer. Jesus says, you need to be as smart as Owen. You have to have a heart as soft as Owen. That's what he says. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. If you like underlining things in your Bible or highlighting in your Bible, that's a good little half of a sentence to underline. Because if you know Jesus Christ, if you know God, if you're born again, this has already happened to you. You're one of them who Jesus has revealed the Father to. It's truth to you. It's only truth to you, a personal level of truth, once the Holy Ghost reveals it to you, opens it up, discloses it to you. Just like last week about the good things of God, this is the same thing. Whom Jesus has revealed it to you. He's popped the lid off this and said, look it, you can be saved by grace, by the love of God. Through his forgiveness, you can have a relationship. Before he does that, it doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. And your heart's hard, harder than diamonds, and you don't care that it's hard. But once Jesus reveals the Father's love to you, everything changes. Look at verse 28. He says, but you've got this. I'm revealing this to you. Verse 28. So come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Hallelujah. You'll find rest for your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Phew. In the context of this chapter, these verses become so much more powerful when we understand who he was talking to and why he was talking to them. So the people in the crowd that were mixed in with this religious community, the people that are kind of like us, that are following Jesus, just want to hear another word from the Lord, want to get something from God, want to hear something spiritually, they're mixed in with the crowd. So after Jesus tunes up the religious, hard-hearted people, then he talks to us, people just like us. Not perfect people by any means. Probably people had their own baggage, their own struggles, their own history, their own past. He says, hold on a second. Some of you look pretty wore out by some of this other stuff these other people are putting on you. Do you know that Jesus almost never talks about sin and talks about religion more than sin? Do you know that Jesus only had a problem with religious people and never with sinners? Right? The Bible never says he went and hung out with religious people. It says he hung out with sinners, people like you and me. Hung out with us. Come on. Religious people, the only time he showed up to a group of religious people is to tune them up. I can show you scriptures. He called them every name he could think of outside of cussing. You bunch of snakes. The snake means devil. When Jesus called them snakes, he said, you guys are a bunch of devils. Oh, you don't get it? You guys are a bunch of dead people. You're as bad as a whitewashed tomb with a dead person in there rotting and stinking. That's what you guys are. You look good on the outside, but your inside's horrible. That's what he thought about religious people. But people like us that know our past and want no part of it, we want more of God, he says, but hold on a second. You guys, come to me. All you who are labored and weary, you've been wore out by some of the junk that people have put on you. So then you're trying to be good, and you're trying to look right, and you're trying to talk right, and you're trying to do all this stuff so they'll approve you. It's wore you out, and I see it. Come on down to me. Let me show you how I think. Jesus had just got done tuning up the religious people and challenging their hard hearts, and I think it was like bullets ricocheting off of rocks. Those hard people just, when are we going to do something about this clown? I think that's how they thought. And the other people, I think their eyes started welling up. I think some of them actually started going, oh, Lord, I want signs and wonders. I want some miracles. I want your power. I want all that you got. I believe. So Jesus says, for this stuff to happen, you got to get something from me by me revealing it. Same words I talked about last week. I want to show you something that you can't get with your five sentences. You're going to get it spirit to spirit. It's going to be supernatural. It's going to be amazing. He says, so come to me. It wasn't just some impersonal thing, so whatever, if you're listening, come on up. It was like, come here. Seriously, come here. It's like when someone's in danger, like if you're out in the woods and there's a wolf sneaking up on your buddy behind him, you'd be like, come here, quick, come, right? It's urgency. And that's what Jesus was saying to them. Come here, come on to me, come on. I want to show you something. All you who labor, which absolutely is hard work, tired from hard work, but more than physical work. Because physical work, glass of water, a rest, most of it, you're right as rain, especially if you're young. But spiritual work wears you out. And without some kind of spiritual healing and energizing, you can't get refreshed. Jesus says, come on, I can see some of this religious stuff. People's expectations have wore you out. Come on over to me. You who are heavy laden, which literally means, listen to this description. Tell me if this doesn't witness with you about something that you've experienced, maybe experiencing right now. He says, all you who look like you've gone through labor, all you who are heavy laden, which means to be loaded up, to be piled on, to have stuff heaped on you. Now, I know for a fact, in my life, I've had stuff piled on me. I see all the heads nodding here. I'll bet all of us could say that. Yeah, how my mom, how my dad, how this boss treated. I had a teacher, a brother, you fill in the blank. He says, come on up to me. I want to show you some, all you guys who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. It's way more than just, okay, everybody take 30 seconds and we'll be back. It's more than a commercial break. It's a rest that's a spiritual rest that comes from the supernatural power of God. It's a rest and a refreshing that can happen in an instant. Natural rest takes time and resources. Spiritual rest can happen in an instant. Spiritual healing can happen in an instant. Resting, refreshing, restoring can happen in an instant. That's what Jesus is saying. Come on up to me. Come here. Come on up. I can see your war. I see somebody pile some stuff on you. Come on up, man. I want to help you with this. I want to restore something for you. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, which the word take, to take this yoke, it literally is like a nautical term. Like when you're out on a boat and you throw an anchor overboard because you don't want to move. Have you ever thought that fishermen are the ultimate definition of someone who's stuck and wants to stay stuck? For fishermen, it's a good thing. For the rest of us, it's a bad thing. If we're not careful, we can be stuck from when we were 8 years old and our dad backhanded us off a chair and said I was a loser and an idiot and I'll never accomplish anything. I can be stuck in that. I can believe that my whole life. All of us have had stuff piled on us. And Jesus says, hold on a second. Take my yoke. Weigh anchor is literally what he's saying. Weigh anchor. I see where you're at with your stuff. I see the stuff piled on you. Weigh anchor. Now, I would encourage you, don't bother pulling that anchor up because you don't need to carry that junk with you. Cut the line. Just cut the line from that baggage. Cut the line of the junk that God's already stirred your heart with and remind you of stuff. Just cut the line. Now, he says, take my yoke, which is to weigh the anchor. Just cut that thing off and take his yoke, which that word yoke in the Greek literally means to join. It's a coupling. And two of the examples that I found, which really describe how this is, if you've ever seen how trains work, how different boxcars on train, how they couple together, there's like one side that looks like this, and the other side's like this. And so when they back the one up, and it hits, and then this clamps down. It would even be more almost like this. And so they will not come apart. This will break off of there before that coupling will break. That's what he's talking about. He says, take my yoke, my coupling, be coupled to me. Do you know that's where we get the term coupling? A couple? Oh, those two are a couple. They're coupled together. They're linked together. They're joined together. The other place where this yoke is talked about and used, this word's really interesting. You know, in every courthouse in America, maybe you guys haven't been as many courthouses as me, but all the ones that I went into, they had, you know, just Lady Liberty, and she's holding like the scales of justice. Can't remember exactly how it is. But if you look at a scale, and it's usually got this arm dealy that goes across, and then the weights go down here, and you know they're equal when it's even. This thing is called a yoke. It yokes the one thing that's being weighed out with the other thing that's perfectly accurate. And so Jesus is saying, you get on this side, you be yoked to me, I'm perfect over here, I will balance you out. Wow. Wow. He says, I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes, when we grow up, when we watch TV, movies, we read stuff, we think of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, we think of the whole religion thing as how other people have treated us. So if your dad backhanded you off a chair, your mom always called you a stupid idiot or a loser, or all the other stuff that happens to us as growing up, if we're not careful, that's the filter that we'll filter God through. And so we'll just think, okay, he's kind of says he loves me, but he's putting up with me until I make a mistake, and then he's going to clobber me. And that's just such a lie. Jesus says, no, hold on a second. I'm not going to load you down with heavy stuff. I'm not going to pile on you. I'm not going to put more baggage on you. You got to try to lug through in life. My burden's easy. My yoke is light. Come over to me. Come over to me. Be yoked. Be coupled with me and see what I do. It's so amazing. It's so amazing. This yoke together, you know, another great illustration, which Jesus actually talked about a yoke of oxen in several of his parables. Do you know a yoke of oxen? When there's two ox that are yoked together to go and do all this work, whether it's pulling or plowing, they're never the same age. I know in TV land, it looks like they're a match set of oxen. And they're never the same age. One's old and one's young, always. Always. Because you know how you train a young ox? You don't train it by whipping it. You don't train it even by walking around leading it. You train it by putting it in a harness, and you put that harness hooked to a yoke with an older ox with his harness on the other end of that yoke. You put them together, and then you tell that old ox to do what it's supposed to do. So the old ox is going to go right down straight rows every time. Get to the end of the field, turn around, come back. Straight every time. He's been doing it for years. He knows how to do this. The young ox, he's going to be like, doo, doo, ta, ta, la, ta, 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 ta. I want to go back. Ta, ta, ta. Oh, look over there. Hey, I think I saw a girl. The whole time, the old ox is just like, I got this, man. I've been doing this so long. I can do this daydreaming. No problem. After a little while, the young ox walks with the older ox, and they are in step. They become a match set. Jesus says, come on. Remember when I had Logan up here? That's what Jesus is saying. Come on, I got this. I know you got distractions. I know you got stuff going on. I know you got things that are blowing up your life. Come on, come on, I got this. I can bring you, right? I can do the work for both of us. Got it. Just come on until you get the hang of this thing. Come on, follow along. You got it? All right, I knew you would. I saw the potential. That's what Jesus says to all of us. I see the potential in you. I see the promise in you. I know there's a lot in you. Come on, just get in my yoke. You don't have to do anything in the beginning. Just you're along for the ride. Wow. So where's all this start? No one knows the Son except for the Father. No one knows the Father except for the Son. And, comma, this is where we come in. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Going to expose, going to take the top off this and show you everything about the Father and all the good stuff about the kingdom. Whew. Praise you, Lord. Revelation comes from linking arms. James says the bending of an arm that lifts another one up. Jesus says get yoked together. Revelation comes by spending time yoking ourselves with Jesus. Spending time with him unlocks our purpose and our potential. Each one of you have a ton of potential. The devil comes along and uses loved ones, strangers, situations, circumstances, coincidence to try to convince us that we're nothing but losers. You're just a loser. Just shut up and sit there. When we want you, we'll wake you up. Otherwise, shut up. That's what the devil's always trying to tell us. God says the opposite. You're important. I made you special, unique, on purpose, with purpose. You're not an accident in any sense of the word. God says, come on, just get to me, and I got this. Just get to me. Put that yoke on. Put that harness on. You got to get in. I'm not going to chase you down and tackle you and put it on you. You got to come up to here. This is where I stand. You got to come up, put the harness on, draw near to me. I'll draw near to you, and we can start this thing. Whew. That's awesome. I get excited. The first time I start reading this stuff and God starts giving me the message, then when I preach it, I get excited again. So we lock arms, we lock our lives with him. I just want to get in the harness, God. There's a whole lot of this I don't understand. Do you ever feel like that? I've been doing this almost 30 years, and there's sometimes that things happen in people's lives, in my life, that I go, oh, man, Lord, I just got to get that harness on. You're going to have to carry me today. I don't have the answers for what I'm seeing. I don't have the answers to the questions they're going to ask me. All I'm going to do is just point back to you. I'm going to do what you did for me. I'm just going to try to point to the Father through Jesus. We can actually unlock our purpose and our potential by drawing near to God. How do we draw near to God? Is it just going out fishing, out in the middle of the lake, thinking nice thoughts and just saying, oh, God, your creation's so awesome. Whoa, that's probably an 8-pounder. Oh, man, praise God. Oh, kind of, sort of, but not really. I've talked to a lot of guys over my life, die makers, that their cathedral was the great outdoors. So when they're out hunting and fishing and being totally self-centered in their hobbies, that was them worshiping at church. And you're right, they did get mad at me when I said that to them. Jesus called us to church to do church together. Jesus calls us into a family. He never, ever sent someone out alone and said, now you just figure it out, do it yourself. He always called people in. Even when he sent people, I sent them out two by two. So how do we spend time? How do we draw close to God? Well, we spend time by getting in the Word, by getting in the Bible, reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible, thinking about the Bible. That will do the most for you to draw close to God, getting in the Bible. And I know that sometimes people don't read well. One of my best friends, many of you know him, Chris Shire, he preached here a couple of times. He'll be coming back soon. I think he dropped out in either 10th or 11th grade. He could not hardly even read when I first met him in the late 80s. And yet now he can quote quite a few verses that he's memorized. And he is, let's just say, I'm sure that his company's worth over $1 million. And so not being able to read won't stop a person that's really dedicated. That's really hungry. That's really hungry. So the best thing you can do if you want to draw near to God is to get in His Word. And it's honestly, it's not about being able to say, Pastor, excuse me. I have read 1 hour every day. How about you, Pastor? No, I don't think I did a whole hour every day. I have. And by the way, I have two Bibles. And sometimes they're both open when I'm reading. It's not that. It's about, if I didn't know these promises that I read to you today, I couldn't share them with you today. If you're not in the Word, you can't find His promise for you that day. You'll be amazed that if you're in the Bible every day, or most days, let's shoot for most days, so then it's not some law that you got to try to keep. You'll find that when you read the Bible, it will come alive to you, and you'll go out and you'll run smack dab into something in life, and the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance a promise that Jesus said. And so while your earthly senses are reacting to this earthly problem, your spirit will remind you, go, hold on a second, there's plenty of hope here. I know this looks bad, but there's plenty of hope here. Remember when Jesus said, take His yoke? I got His yoke on. Okay. I'm yoked to You, Lord Jesus. You're going to carry me through this. Hallelujah. It's like dropping a couple of really heavy bags right off the top. So, reading the Bible. You know another great thing for drawing near to God is? Personal worship. Personal worship. One of the great places for me to do worship is in the car. Because I know for sure ain't nobody else there can hear me singing. So I can just go for it. Oh, man, I can just bust out as loud as I want. I get jiggy with it if I want, whatever. I just have fun. Me and the God I'm worshiping with, whatever music I want to hear while I'm worshiping Him. It's awesome. It's awesome. I worship in the basement. I worship in the office. Sometimes I'll come in here and turn the system on. But that's cheating. You guys can't do that. So let's stick to either in your car or in your basement, or wherever you want. Sometimes me and Janelle worship together. But mostly, for me, my most intimate times with God is just me and Him. Me and Him. There's something powerful about all of us worshiping together. That's a whole nother dynamic in worship I cannot do at home. There's something about the praises of God's people together that He inhabits. That's one of His promises. But if you want to draw near, get in the Word, do some worship, and then just pray. You know, I've read so many books on prayer. I've heard so many sermons on prayer. I've heard so many things that people make prayer this heavy, hard thing to do. And I just think it's not about that. You don't have to tell me that I should talk to Jeanette today. By the way, if you're new here, a visitor, Jeanette's my wife of 30 years. So I don't have to be told to talk to her today. I certainly don't have to be told how to talk to her, what I should talk to her about, how long I should talk to her. I don't need any of that. So I'm going to talk to her because I enjoy talking to her. I enjoy talking with her. I enjoy listening to her. Think of God like that. God, you know what's coming up this afternoon. I'm trying to be here in the moment at church, but you know this thing's coming up. And then tomorrow, that same boss, that same coworker, that same situation, electric bill. Just talk to him about it. God, that's all that stuff I know you got to handle. Here, I'm just giving it back to you. I just want to praise you for a while. And then put that worship thing back in. That's what prayer is, just talking to him. It's not like, okay, I'm not praying so God can't hear what I'm saying. Because this is just me talking to you because I'm not talking to him. So stay there. Oh, we're here. Really? The Bible actually says he knows every word before it's even on my tongue. The Bible says he knows what's in my heart before my brain tries to repackage it and then say it. Right? We've all been hypocrites in our lives. That's what that is. When you got something in your heart, but your brain says, well, that's not going to be acceptable to say, so say it this way. We say something, our heart's going, pfft. Right? We've all done that. God already sees our heart, and he loves us. He's still saying, come on up. Come on, come here. Come on, come on. Come on, draw close to me. I want to draw close to you. Come on. I seen your heart. I knew that last year. That's no news. You had that all 2019. I still was calling you. Come here. Come here. My burden's light. You'd be shocked. So let's get in the Bible as much as we can. Like, just make a decision. There's so many Bible reading program apps, so many good free Bible reading apps. You can do it on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer. You can just buy a Bible. This is the simplest Bible app that there is. Buy a Bible and read one page a day, or read 4 or 5 minutes, go, a day. You'll find that sometimes 5 minutes isn't going to be long enough. You're going to want to just finish that chapter. Kind of like when you're binge-watching, you're just going to watch 2 more episodes. And 6 episodes later, you're like, I got to put this thing down. I got stuff to do. Right? The Bible is the same way. The Bible walks and talks and breathes and illuminates. You talk about VR. This and the Holy Ghost is the original VR. I'm just telling you. If you want to draw close to God, let's start getting in his word. Let's just talk to him like he's a real person, like he already knows what's in our heart. We're not hiding anything. You already know about it, God, so I might as well tell you. I can't stand that dude. Would you please hit him with lightning right now? And don't kill him. Let him stay in the burn ward for a little while. We all been there. Let's just be real about it. Then like 20 minutes later, you're like, okay, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I can't stand him still, but I don't want him to die that way. So, Lord, you know what? Let's do this. I'm sorry for what I said, and I'm sorry for what's in my heart. Would you please wash me from that junk? And Lord, would you please bless him and draw him to you? It's a process. Let's just be real with God. Let's just talk to him. But getting close to God is the most amazing thing that we can do. Let's try to bring this to a close. Let's go back to James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. I'm reading this out of the New King James Version. James says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Remember what I said earlier about drawing near, and it's bending the arm to lift someone up. Jesus says, put my yoke on you. Come near me. Let me just get in a harness with you to bring balance to your life. James says, come here. Let me lift you up. Draw near so I can draw near to you. Those verses that we just read in Matthew, listen to this. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read this out of one of the newer versions, this out of the Passion in the New Testament. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, and easy to please. Wow. Come and learn my ways, and you'll find that I'm easy to please. That's God. You'll find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. Versus the religious people that no matter what Jesus could do, it wasn't good enough. No matter what John the Baptist did, it was wrong. These religious people that had hard hearts, Jesus says, just come on to me. You'll find that what I really require of you, what I really want, it's easy. It's called hanging out with someone that loves you. It don't get no easier than that. So do you want rest and refreshing that Jesus promises, that what you'd want? Because I'm going to pray for that at the end of the service, that we'd all be rested and refreshed and able to lose our burdens, our baggage, and be able to yoke ourselves with him. But before that, I just want to ask this. Is there anyone here that has never asked Jesus to be their Lord and Savior? Never asked for forgiveness and asked to be cleansed and born from above? If there's anyone here that's never done that, that would like that now, would you just raise your hand? It's the most amazing thing you can do. Is there anyone here? Okay. Well, I'm going to pray. So if you would just bow your heads, close your eyes, and open your hearts, I'm going to pray for all of us. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you stirred our hearts today. You started in worship, drawing us to you and helping us to see something past what these physical eyes see. Father, I thank you that as I was sharing the word, I literally could see you stirring people's hearts and speaking to them. I could see light bulb moments happening for so many people here. Lord, I pray for your children in this house. I pray for your blessing upon each one of them. Lord, I talked about baggage and past injuries and how people that have harmed us, and sometimes the people that were supposed to love us and protect us, have harmed us the worst. Lord, would you please help us to weigh anchor, to cut the anchor, and more than that, to get in the harness with you. Would you help us to do that? Would you help us to resist the devil and draw close to you? Would you help us, Lord? Holy Spirit, I ask you to just come right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would come and supernaturally start severing soul ties, severing addictions, severing offenses, severing old wounds, old memories. Sever those now, would you please? And Holy Spirit, would you please bring the supernatural healing that comes from God the Father? Would you heal broken hearts? Would you heal wounded hearts? Would you heal broken spirits, wounded spirits? In this place right now, would you please bring a resting and a refreshing and a healing to each and every single person that's heard this message today? Would you please do that? I know you will. You've promised it. I've read it in 3 different places in the Bible this morning. So please do it. Draw us close to you. Carry us and balance us out. I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, God bless you. We're going to have cookies and coffee over in the foyer. So if you want to join us, I just want to encourage and invite everybody, come over there and have some fellowship. God bless you. Have a great week, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow at 6:30. It's another way you can draw nigh unto God is join the prayer meeting. We only have 2 a month, every other Monday. So tomorrow at 6:30 over in the prayer room. God bless you. Love you.